Evening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, at some indeterminate time in our past, in the history of the universe, in the history of the earth, in the history of humanity, God brought all that exists, the spiritual, the material, the seen and the unseen. He brought it out of nothingness into being. He took a fragment of that creation, and He breathed His breath into it. And so that inanimate matter, that lifeless matter, became alive. And we sprang forth from that. At some point, corruption, chaos, evil usurped that life that we had. Death came into the world, and death came into the world through us, and through us, death was transmitted to all of the creation. So when man fell, all of creation was corrupted with him. Each of us bear the consequences of that fall. We don't bear the guilt, mind you, but we still suffer from death. We still suffer pain. We still feel all these agonies in the flesh, if you will. Now, 2012 years ago, or 2011 years ago, there was a time and a place much like this time. There was much political unrest. There was a vast gap between the rich and the poor, greater than there is now. The human life expectancy at that time was 30 or 40 years, if that. So when a man like Jesus became 30 years old, he was considered an adult by that society, because most people didn't live very far past their 40s, their 30s or 40s. There was a lot of financial unrest. There was political oppression. And we think that their social inequalities now, they were even greater than, vastly greater than. And it was into that environment that God sent His Son to redeem it and to save it. So that death and that chaos that had become so widespread and rampant in God's creation, well, God had mercy on us. He had pity on us. And He sent His only begotten Son into the world that through Him all may have life. So, you know, we were talking about Bethlehem 2011 years ago, where present age is much like that time. There's a vast inequality between the rich and the poor. There's political unrest, social unrest, governments rising and falling constantly. We all suffer from sickness. We see all those around us, our loved ones, they get old and they die, and they suffer that curse that our forefathers and our ancestors brought upon us. So we need a Savior as well. You know, tonight we celebrate the nativity of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. We talk about His birth into a manger, into a cave. Well, my brothers and sisters, tonight our Savior desires to be born into the cave of your heart. He wants to redeem you as an individual. He wants to save you as a person in community with other believers. That's why He came into the world, to save not only everybody, but each and every one of us individually. When God sent His Son into the world, He foresaw not only the suffering of that generation, but all subsequent generations. He had each and every one of you in mind when He sent His Son into the world. He came for you. So my question to you tonight, as we celebrate this wonderful feast of the Nativity, is will you allow Him to be born into your life if He's not already there? You know, tonight I see a lot of people that have come out that I've never seen before. You know, there's the old saying, in Orthodoxy, there are a lot of creasters, you know, Christmas and Easter crowds. You know, if you don't come here every weekend, if you don't come here every time the liturgy is offered, that's not enough. Your faith will slip through your hands and your fingers like sand. I'm a priest, I'm trained, I'm supposed to know better. And if I'm not here each and every Sunday, each and every time the liturgy is offered, if I neglect that, my faith begins to waver. So I hope you'll consider that. Those of you who come periodically, maybe once, twice, three times a year, ask yourself, are you allowing the Lord to come into your heart, into your life, to be born into your life, and thus redeem you like He has redeemed all of creation? That's the great question for the Nativity. That's why we celebrate it. We celebrate what it means, not only for the world, but for us as individuals. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not about presents. That's not why people celebrated this feast. They didn't do that in the beginning. They celebrated the fact that God had sent His Son into the world to save it, to redeem it, to sanctify it, and to snatch it out of the jaws of chaos, death, and corruption. He did that through His Son. Will you allow Him to do that in your life? As we go forth through the next couple of days and the next couple of hours as we, celebrate with our families, we open presents. Look into your hearts, look into your lives, and see if He's really there, and if you've allowed Him to take residence there. If the answer is yes, if you were baptized into this faith, then it's your responsibility to come each and every time the liturgy is offered, and each and every time communion is offered, so that you may eat and drink life upon yourself. It says in the book of John, Jesus Himself said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. If you come periodically, you're denying yourself the very source of life and salvation. So my hope and my prayer for you is that you'll use this opportunity as we celebrate this great coming into the world of our Savior, this great gift from God the Father Himself, that we will begin to evaluate our lives and we will begin to allow that gift to come into our hearts and into our lives, and we will receive it and reciprocate it not only to God, but to all those people around us. That's how we incarnate God each and every day in our lives. Just as God came into the world, likewise, we have to become the image of God to all those people around us. We have to become icons of God. That's my hope and prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.